Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the salvation that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ, for the revelation of what the past is, what the present is, what the future is, for the details of how we are to live now as redeemed people, those who have been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we ask that we would have understanding, clarity of thought, and edification, Father, growth that comes out of this look at your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we've really been dealing with, we've dealt with the first verse, but let me read that. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Okay. And Scripture has so much to say about this, how we're to live. And I feel like we don't appropriate what's there. Okay. I include myself in that. So I want to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Simple verse. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So that's a simple statement of a principle we find. We'll look at other places. How do we live? Let's go back. What's faith? I mean, what? Let me rephrase that. What's faith for the born-again person? What's scriptural faith? It's believing what God says. He reveals things in his word. Faith is believing and trusting and acting on what he says. Okay. Really important. The world's idea of have faith, that's just open-ended. And if you believe hard enough in anything, if you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are, that kind of nonsense. Not grounded in anything, but then we have God's word where he has stated those things that we need to know, and those things bring us to the truth and to the reality of how we are to live. Okay, then, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Great verse. Just so we'll be reminded of this. Verse 18, Paul says, for if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. He's talking about the law. And he says, for through the law, I died to the law. It's the law that demanded my death for sin. Christ took my place, and God says, I died in Christ. Okay. So, for through the law, I died to the law that I might, what? Live to God. That possible? I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the present, okay? I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Okay. So, you know, here's the question, and there's a lot of disagreement about this. Many, many, many people think once you're a believer, now you can keep the law, and so just keep the law, and you're good to go. And yet over and over it says, I died to the law. I've been set free from the law. And then people try to get around that by the statement. Well, it's talking about the cleanliness things and the unclean and the clean food and all of that. But we're still under the law. And yet I see scripture over and over again saying, no, we're not. And people that hear me say that could very well say, well, you're just going to be living a wicked life. That's one of the things that's said. If you're not under the law, then watch out. Okay. But that's what I want to address tonight. But a few more verses. Hebrews 11, verse 6, one of my favorite ones. Hebrews 11, 6. And without faith, without taking as your truth what God has said and believing it and acting on it, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. So over and over again, God says in his word, this whole principle, we walk by faith, we live by faith. The new life in Christ is by faith. So there must be something to believe about that. There must be something. If God says we walk by faith, then I got to know what he says about these things. Then Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Often quoted verses from the book of Habakkuk, for in it, this the first part isn't, but for in it the righteousness of God in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. You enter into the Christian life by faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Then you live by faith. Okay. And so it goes on and it says, but the righteous man shall live by faith. All right, and then finally, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, same, quoting the same Old Testament verse, but my righteous one shall live by faith. Now, here's the interesting thing. And if he shrinks back, pulls back, okay? If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. What's shrinking back in the context? Not living by faith.
Doubting.
Huh?
Doubting,
yeah. Just not living in accordance with what God has made very, very clear. Okay, so now here's what scares me. I want to go to Romans 6. We were just there. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. But the principles for not living according to the lusts of the flesh are laid down wonderfully in Romans 6, 7, and 8. I'd love to do that all tonight. I said to Wynn, turn on the air conditioner. 'Cause I don't know if you get the gist of that, but thank you. So here we go. Chapter 6, Romans, verse 1. What shall we say then? What are we doing? We're looking at what does God say about this subject? What does God say about how we're to live? Because all of us as believers are in this battle. And I think all of us know it's a battle. All of us know we're not doing that well. Maybe I should say. Okay. And we very, very easily find ourselves in a situation where we even start to question our salvation because of the repetition of whatever pattern of sin is your pattern of sin. Do you get what I mean? I mean, we're not all the same. You know, your area isn't mine, and mine may not be yours. But all of us have some pothole that we keep driving into. And so my question is, is there an answer for that? And maybe I should throw alongside that, is there an answer other than you just got to try harder? Because some of us have tried hard. I don't want to sound like some of you haven't. I think all of us have. That's a strike that from the record. we've all struggled with that. And okay, so the first thing, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in grace? I'm sorry, in sin, that grace might increase. So that's one of those things that could make sense. You know, because it seems like the more a person sins, then grace increases, and so God's glorified by grace. And yet the answer is no way. May it never be. But then this one of these principles of walking by faith comes out right now. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? So. One of the great issues of the Christian life is, do I believe that or not? Because every portion of my flesh says, that's nonsense. You know what I mean by that? It says, I still have this tendency. I still have this area where I'm tempted, maybe daily, okay? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized, baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit takes us out of Adam, places us in Christ forever, at the point of salvation, it's not a second blessing thing. It happens the moment we put our faith in Christ that we be, and if it doesn't, then we're in terrible shape because we're still in Adam. And in Adam, all die. Who takes us out of Adam and place the work of the Spirit when we are born again? We are removed out of where we were. It's not something we're waiting for. It's we're already in Christ. And our blessings are continually associated with being in Christ, being in Him, identified with Him. Okay. Therefore, because we've been baptized into his death. Let me read verse 3 again. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him. This is how God sees it. There's my question. Do you see it? It's pretty final, isn't it? If I really see myself dying with Christ, crucified with Christ, dead, pronounced dead, buried, that's pretty, that's a pretty thorough look at this situation, okay? And God says that's the way it is. And I come back to what I started with. What are we supposed to do? Walk by faith, not by how I feel, not even by what other people say. What does God's word say about this? Okay, but here we go. Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk, have our new habit of life, might walk in newness of life. Is that possible? What does it say? We're going to walk by faith. We're going to believe what God says, that he has, for me, for you, newness of life in Christ Jesus. All right, then it goes on and says, for if we've become united with him, again, baptism of the Holy Spirit, in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Again, are we enslaved? Are we enslaved to sin? In other words, this whole work of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf is you're not to be enslaved to sin. That he broke the power of that sin. It's not that we can't fall into sin, but something has been drastically changed for God to say what he said here. You can never say this about an unbeliever. He is locked into, he's a slave to Satan, he's a slave to sin. So, you know, I'm going to keep asking this question. So what does God want me to believe about this? You know? And do I honor him by, you know, I just thought of this, but you know how Scripture says, if you don't believe the gospel, you're calling God a liar. And I like to call what we're studying tonight the gospel of sanctification. The gospel of how experiential sanctification, how are we going to walk? And I'm afraid too often we're calling him a liar. You know what I mean by that? I'm not really grabbing a hold of this. I'm like Romans 6, oh, that's too hard. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Here we go. For he who has died is freed from sin. Okay, so building on what we've had so far, have I died? Yes. Okay. So then, if I did die, and I did, then what? Then I'm freed from sin. Okay? Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 8. Now, here's a great statement. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death is a past thing. It's over. Jesus Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. So we are associated with him in that death, having died once for all in Christ. Okay. Verse 10, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Now, how is faith going to take this and apply it? And we haven't gone very far at all, okay? Because we're only in 6, okay? Even so, but here's what we are told to do. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. But that's not the only part of it. But alive to God in Christ Jesus. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit again. Whenever you have those words, in Christ, in him, in the beloved, those are all references to I am now a member of the body of Christ because of the work of the Holy Spirit. I have been placed in Christ. Therefore, what's true of him in the sight of God is true of me. I have his eternal life. I have his righteousness. All of those things have been made my reality by what God has done. Whether I understand it or not, it still doesn't change. You know what I mean? And if I have doubts, it still doesn't change. It's still what God has done. That's what I love. If I'm a flake, and I am, then it doesn't change. God doesn't say, oh, well, if you don't believe it, then it's not true. It's true. This is what he's done. Okay. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts, its desires. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those now alive from the dead. I died with Christ, was buried with Christ, raised up to newness of life in Christ. I now have new life in Christ. And that new life, God wants to have me live in accordance with his plan and be pleasing to him. And he's put me in a place where I can do that, where you can do that. You know, this isn't only for pastors. You know, this is for every single member of the body of Christ. This is what God intends for all of us. There's no rank and file, and you know, we're all one in Christ. We're members of the same body. Okay. All right. Verse 14. Now we come to verse 14, and verse 14 says, "For sin shall not be master over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace." What's that statement? Whoa. Remember what it says about the law? And maybe I should go there right away to chapter 7, because that's where that's really, really dealt with. But the law, if I'm remembering the verse right, Romans chapter 5, verse 20. One of those amazing, amazing statements in Scripture. "And the law came in." Remember there, the picture in the Greek is what is it called? Like an old play in the ancient world. They had doors that the actors and actresses came in through, and they had certain ones that would be the I don't even know the name of, but the main actor or the main actress, and then they had side players, you know, and they had another door for them, and they'd come in. And it's very interesting, because the word that's used here is that this is one of the side actors. The law came in as a side actor, okay? And so here's what it says. "And the law came in that the transgression might increase." It's an amazing statement, isn't it? Because most people think, well, the law is there so we'd be holy and righteous. But Scripture says something entirely different. It says, no, the law is there to show your own sinfulness. And this is how sinful you are, how sinful I am, that just by being told what not to do, my sin increases because of the rebellion in my heart, that when God says, don't do this, I want to do it. And all of us who've raised kids have seen this in our own little kids. You know, you tell them, do not do this. You know, I've had more fun with that, you know, watching some. I watch some parents say, do not touch this, and everybody leaves the room, and I'm kind of looking back, and I know what's going to happen. You know, you got some little kid, and he's walking over, and
it's the rule of the flagpole.
Yes, yeah, don't stick your tongue on a furry, you know, on the frozen flagpole, because you'll get stuck there, and you know, somehow you got to try it, you know, to, you know, and you know, I've heard my story, my dad telling me he's heated a piece of copper. I don't even remember why, but he's heated a piece of copper, dropped it down in the side of a metal ash can, and he's going out of the room, and he says, now don't touch that, because it's going to be hot for a really long time. As soon as I hear his feet going up the stairs, I put my hand on it and heard it go, tss. You know that noise when you, yeah, and now it's I've been branded, so I can't. It's evident that anyway. Well, I don't know why it's, but the law came in that the transgression might increase. Can you see why God caused us to die to the law? Verse 15 of chapter 6. What then, shall we sin because we're not under the law? How clear does that have to become? How many ways does God have to say in his word that we're not under that Mosaic law? You know, and I've heard the arguments of, you know, like I already said, it's the ceremonial law, it's the cleansing, it's the sacrifices. But you know what? When God presents his law in Scripture, he presents it as an entirety. Whoever fails in any part of the law fails the whole law. You can't just say, well, that's been done away and that's been done away, but this part still stands. Okay? And it gets so specific in Corinthians, it says, written with the finger of God, you know, that was what? The Ten Commandments. All right. I want to come to chapter 7. Before I do that, verse 22. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay. So here we go, chapter 7. Or do you not know, brethren, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives? We understand that, right? You know, I've thought of that often. I just always thought in my weird sense of humor, wouldn't it be funny if I get pulled over for speeding and just as he's handing me the ticket, I die? I know somehow that just strikes me as being very funny. And because so now I've died to that law, you know. I don't know what he's going to do with the ticket, but it's not going to bother me, you know, and it's not going to bother my wife. I mean, probably my death will, but not the ticket part of it. Okay, so the scripture says that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. Now this is an interesting one. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. And I always thought, why? It seemed to me that it ought to, this is what I used to think, it ought to say that if she dies, she's released from the law, but she's released from the law if he dies. But what's an example of? Because Christ died. Get it? Someone else died, and she was released from the law. Her husband died, so she's released from the law concerning marriage. So now Christ died, and I died in him, but he's the one who died and took my place. And so I'm released from the law by his death, okay, which has now been made my death because I'm in Christ. Okay. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she's released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she's joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband died, she is freed from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. Okay. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ. Now, here's the great part. So what am I connected with? You know, is it just, okay, you're freed from the law, go on your way? But these next words are so wonderful. Therefore, my brethren, you were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit for God. Here we go again. Here's Romans 5:20 repeated a little bit differently. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law, and that's left out in the original, which were by the law, that these sinful passions are the result of my sinful nature and God's holy law telling me what to do. And my rebellion is such that I become more sinful. Okay? For while we were in the flesh, I believe that's a reflection of our place as unbelievers. The sinful passions were aroused by the law, which were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound. Quite a word, isn't it? Having been released to that by which we were bound, the law, so that we serve in newness of the spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Now, have you ever gone through those opening chapters of Scripture Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and tried to put yourself as a Jew in the desert, okay, and later on coming into the land, but you're a Jew, and now this is the standard by which you will live. What one or two words have to describe you under that law? I realize that's one of my totally vague questions. But
striving.
Okay, striving, failing. So my word would be fear. You're just constantly, did I touch something that was unclean? It's overwhelming. Having read through it many times, I'm still confused by it. It's just a staggering thing when you think of it. And you can lose your life. You can lose your life pretty easily. I mean, you can go out and pick up some sticks on the Sabbath and for a fire and be stoned to death. Like one Jew did that. And they asked God what to do, and the Lord said, stone him. There's all kinds of things just that could happen in everyday life, and where many of which we have done. How many of us have taken the Lord's name in vain at some point in our lives? You know, that's capital punishment. You know, that's death by stoning. And you know, it just goes on and on. And so here's the thing. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Just you, I know you know where, you might know where I'm headed, but just go over to Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5, but I'm in verse 22, of course. So here we've been released from that which we were bound to, okay? That's what God says. And now we serve in newness, whole new thing, of the Spirit. Tell me where the fear is here. Tell me where the anxiety is here. Tell me where... And I just have to say, how many of us find ourselves under that same anxiety, under that same frustration, under that same guilt, whatever. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. I just have to say, how much joy was there under the law? Peace. Peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Back to chapter 7. Now, it seems, and the Holy Spirit, of course, realizes or wants to make it clear to us that we could at this point in chapter 7, I think, it would be wrong, but we could think, well, you know what? The law is really the problem. Paul's got to answer that. In verse 7, he says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not, and here I think Paul is bearing his own soul and his own sin nature. He says, for I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, now when we have that singular sin, that's his own sinful nature, flesh, his own flesh. But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, here we have Romans 5:20 again. Okay, what's 5:20? The law came in that the transgression might increase. Okay? But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, my own sin nature, here's the commandment. Paul says, produced in me coveting of every kind, for apart from the law, sin is dead. I'm still grappling with that. And was once alive apart from the law. And I think his idea there is Paul was very, very comfortable with his life until the law made it very, very clear to him where he stood. You know, that, and it, we have lots of people like that. There are lots of people that in your first encounter with them, they were, I'm a good person, you know. I am a good person. You know, I'm not like the guy next door, the guy on the other side of the tracks or whatever. I'm really a good person. And really, I think the correct answer to that is, have you looked at what the standards are? Have you looked at what the law says to you about how you're doing? And I always remember reading in that, you know, that the book with the 52 consecutive lessons where you go all the way through from the beginning of scripture all the way through the gospel, and they don't start off with the gospel, they take you all the way through the law. And this, and the, and I think it's in the introduction, the guy that's writing the book says, had a gentleman come to the class, and the first thing he said when he came in was, I'm a good person, I think I'm doing pretty well. And the guy didn't, the teacher of the class didn't argue with him. He says, well, you know, we're going to be looking at that. And so they go in and they start looking at what the law says. And this man of his own accord comes up after one of the classes and says, I'm in terrible shape. I'm a sinful person. I'm not a good person. I'm not living up to this at all. Without anything being done except the teaching of what the law said to the unbeliever, he saw, just like Paul did here about his coveting, he saw, this is where I'm at. And so he says, I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. And this commandment, which was to result in life for me, that probably goes back to Leviticus 18:5, that the person who lives, who, let's look at it, Leviticus 18, verse 5. So, verse 5, so you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live if he does them. I know that's not talking about eternal life. That's talking about what?
Just living.
Just live, you know. Just, and you've got it. And here's the thing: you've got to perform every day, right? I mean, if I do a capital crime or break one of the commandments tomorrow, then I can die for that, you know. So, all right. And this commandment, which Paul says, which was to result in life, proved to result in death for me. The wages of sin is death. For sin, now here we go. For sin taking opportunity through the commandment deceived me. Heart is what? Deceitful above all else. And what Paul is saying, I got caught up in this sin of coveting just because the law said not to covet. And it was sin. He's trying to address this issue. Is the law the problem? You know, every once in a while we hear something like that in the news. Well, if they just do away with this law. And maybe sometimes they're right. But, you know, then you're accepting the behavior of whatever that law is against. Okay. So he says, verse 12, so then the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Don't ever forget that. Okay. Therefore, next question. Did that which is good, he just said, the law is holy, righteous, and good. Therefore, did that which is good become a cause of death for me? Is that what killed me? Was it the law that killed me? Can I say that law... And we tend to, it's the law's fault. But notice what he says. Rather, he says, first of all, may it never be, that very, very strong phrasing in the Greek, that just no way. Rather, it was sin, his own sinful nature, in order that it might be shown to be sin by effecting my death through that which is good, that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. Function of the law. Sin might become utterly sinful. Okay. To what? Be our child conductor to drive us to Christ. Because the law really doesn't have the answer. The law just keeps saying, don't do this and you better do that. Okay. But when you fail, there's that wonderful teaching throughout the law. Bring a lamb. You know, put your hands on the head of that lamb and confess your sin and then take the life of that. The law is intertwined in there is there's a way out of this room. You know, you think of a room with only one, with a handball or a racquetball court. You know, it's only one door in and out. And you feel like the law, you're in a room and there's no way out. But continually there, but bring a lamb, you know, bring a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. Cain brings the wrong one because it brings his own works, you know, and Abel brings a blood sacrifice. And okay, so then Paul says this, and this is this, what a cry. Outcry. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh sold into bondage to sin. For that which I am doing, how many of us live in chapter 7? Okay. And this is why we're not going to do it tonight, but next time is 8. We're going to get set free. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Well, if you die before next week, you'll be fine. Okay. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For that which I am doing, I do not understand. This is the battle in a believer. No unbeliever has this battle. You know, this is a believer's battle. And I've rejoiced when somebody I know they're grappling with the things of the word and they come to me and they start talking about the battle. I say, yes, you know, because it means there is the new man and there is this conflict. And, you know, the scripture's got the answer to it, but I'm very happy that they're not like they were before they were saved. The only thing you worry about then is, well, I sinned, but I just don't want to get caught. You know, if I get caught, it's embarrassing, and you know, but we're not really opposed to sin. In fact, we're following the lust of the flesh and appropriating as much of that as we can. So he says, "For that which I am doing, I do not understand. For I'm not practicing what I would like to do." That new man says, "I don't want to do this. I'm sick of this." You know, some of us said, Lord, take me home. You know, this. But I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it's good. I'm on the side of the law then, because the law said don't do that. And I, okay. So then he says, so now no longer am I the one doing it, because he's been raised up to newness of life. And the important person is that new man in Christ. Okay? So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which indwells me. Okay? For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. But if I'm doing the very thing I do not wish, I'm no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. That sin nature. Okay. Then here we go. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. Okay. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law or principle in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, or the principle of sin, if it helps you understand that better, which is in my members. And then this cry, outcry, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? this sin nature that is in my body, which is going to what? Die. God never saved this body. This body is going to die, and he's going to give me a new body. Okay. But there's a new man in this body. And you know what else? Well, let's read it. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. So you're going to be mad if I quit here? Okay, I just will start into 8. Chapter 8, verse 1. What's the answer? So what we have so far is, I've been crucified with Christ. I consider that to be true. But I have this battle in chapter 7. And in chapter 7, I'm not doing well. You know, I'm a failure. And my effort does not win the day. That's the thing. I mean, if Paul's effort didn't win the day, then I can be sure my effort isn't going to win the day. It's not this thing. I need to try harder. I need to work more at this and so forth. And a lot of people would say that. You just need to do this, you know. Whereas the Word of God is going to say in the next chapter that we have not brought in yet in any, it's been there, but in any substantial way, the work of the Holy Spirit who now indwells me. And now that new man, by God's design, according to his word that I'm to live by faith in, okay, I now have the Holy Spirit truly indwelling me, and I can count on him as I, in the freedom of living under the Spirit, desire to serve him. Okay. Realizing the truth of what we've been looking at tonight. So the first thing he says is having, you know, chapter 7, he's talking about if I fail, I fail, I fail. What is that failure? Sin, sin, sin. First thing he says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no, your failure in chapter 7, and I believe every believer goes through this 6, 7, and 8. And I will almost say, if you didn't, what's wrong with you? You know what I mean? I mean, how could you not come to grips with these issues that we all know about? To me, it's like the elephant in the room. Not many people are talking about it, but everybody's dealing with it. You know? Well, that's why I you know me, I always like to come here. This is for me. You know? So I want to just read verse 5, chapter 8. Leave you with this. For those who are according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. That freedom of serving with joy in the Holy Spirit, and not in any way putting yourself under that concept of the law of fear and bondage. Not that we're not to be careful, but that we're to live. Scripture uses that word, that we have been set free. We've been set free from the law of sin and death. And so we'll deal with chapter 8 next time. Father, what grand things you have done and what grand things you have accomplished, not only for our salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, Father, but for our sanctification, that you have dealt with the sin nature, and these wonderful truths are ours, and we have been given the Holy Spirit, and we've been raised up with the Lord Jesus Christ to newness of life. May we live with these things as our reality and not lose sight of them, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.